Stand up and praise their Lord. Amen. And I'll do it for you today. And I know you haven't. to see y'all. I know other Pat knows. When he rolled up his sleeves, he just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps, lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for the reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
Thank you. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Give your Father praise. This is going to be a special day in your life if your hearts open up, not because of me, but because of what we're going to read today. Lord, amen. Did anybody go to church years ago and anybody ever tell you God was your friend? I never heard that. I never heard when I went to church that God was my friend, that I was the friend of God's. I know we read about it, but I was never told, sir, that he was really my friend. Amen. And if he's my friend, I need to be with him and learn him and spend more time with him. Amen. That's just what the song is saying. God is your friend. He's not anybody's enemy. He just lets you choose whether you love him or not. Hallelujah. Let's read together. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Hallelujah. Which is like the bridegroom, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, sight, in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19. Amen. This is a good day to really learn about God. This is a day that could change your life. This is a day that can start a walk even stronger. And people say, well, I know God, I love God. But this is a day you can actually know him better. Amen. This today, what we've been given as Christians is what we have. That's what. And you talk about scholars, and I read about scholars and people who study things and they're smart on things. You know, they study the words of the Bible. They take the Bible and they read it. They study it, the history as a book, and you know, the places, the kings, the kingdoms. But these people, these Bible scholars, read it without giving their hearts to what they're reading. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? They read this book to understand it so that they can talk about the kingdoms and the places, but they don't read this book to let it enter into their heart. Amen. So they never really accept what God is saying. You understand what I'm saying? So they don't have the anointing. They don't look, they're not looking for the anointing. Are you with me? And let me explain it this way. I think about baseball. You know I love baseball. So let's say that I studied baseball. I studied everything. I knew every rule of the game. I knew how to play every play. I knew what the double play and the triple play. I knew all the angles, how to hit the ball. I studied hitting the ball. And then I go out on the field and I get a bat in my hand and I can't do any of it. See? You understand? Somebody studies the Bible, but they don't study it to really know who God is. And so they call themselves Bible scholars. And I say, well, what are you going to tell me about my God today? Amen. They get their wisdom and their knowledge, they get so puffed up that they don't ever express the purity, the simplicity of God. They get so caught up that they want to do these grand things, and God said, I never told you to do those things. Amen. So it's without God's intervention into your heart, the Bible is just a book. Amen. Miss Pat, if you don't let God in, you read this book, you're not going to get anything out of it, because you're not getting what God wants to talk to you, but you have that door closed. Amen. Trying to explain the Bible without an anointing misses the miracles, misses the fire, the promises for your life. For whose life? Your life. When you read this book, you want it to get inside you. You're searching for God. Just because somebody has a degree in reading, it doesn't mean that he can stand here and tell you about it, that you say, I want more of that God. It becomes just a book. As a man, I cannot stand here. Let me say that again. As a man, I cannot stand here and preach about God. I need His anointing. Amen. I need His blessing. I need His love to cover me. I need the Holy Spirit, what we're going to talk about today, the difference between you and the world. The Holy Spirit inside me, driving me to tell you more, driving me to say more, making so many notes that I can't even find them anymore. Amen. Every week, so that you leave here saying, I want more of that God, not more of my pastor. I want more of that God. Amen. So I say, never look at a man, for man fails. Listen to the words, every word, words from God. And then you sit there, and I've heard people say, and I say, thank you, Lord. How do you know what's going on in my life? How could you say something I've been worried about for weeks, or something in my life that I'm going through, and I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks? How do you know that? And I say, I don't. God knows it, amen? And I'm not a fortune teller. I'm just saying, when I read God's word, and I tell you the good news, it affects everybody's life, amen? It just does, because that's God saying, look, Pastor Larry, you read this, and the people will get it where they need to get it. Amen. But that's an anointing. See, that's coming from God, and that's the difference. How do I know what you're feeling? I don't, but God is leading me. So never judge. Never judge by the clothes that somebody wears. I can go to the store tomorrow. Amen. Where? And I could buy the biggest robes they got. I can make it gold and shine and wear a hat and walk around. But I guess I just bought it at the store. Amen? That's all that means. The pageantry doesn't mean anything to God. Amen? It's when you leave here today saying, I got to go back there because I want more of that food. Amen? That's where it is. I and you. You don't look at... That's it. Give them praise. That's it. So you don't judge me or anybody by the clothes, the diplomas, by my life. I see, we all need to look in the mirror every day. Every day. You think you know a lot about God. You think, oh, I've been a good Christian. Look in the mirror and God will say, boy, you need a lot of help. But I love you and I'm going to help you. Amen? So once you look in the mirror, guess what you don't have time to do? You don't have time to look over here. And you don't have time to look over there. Say, because I got to worry about me. And as you're worrying about me, guess what God is doing? He's lifting you up. Amen. Lifting you up, and we're going to get to that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's miracles all around us in our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I will simply say, in God's testimony, rise up. I will say, look up, rejoice, lift each other up. Lift each other up. That's what church is for. Amen. Our church isn't to build another church in another town. Our church isn't to build a church in another state. That's not why we have church here. That's what Paul never said. Hey, by the way, Corinthians, build another church over there in Galatia. No, he said, build it up here. Build the home up. We will send people out. Amen. As this church grows up, the things will happen in God's word. Amen. The church, the town will grow up, and then the state will grow up. Our calling is right here. I am your pastor. I am called to be here. If we had another church, then we'd have to have another pastor. Amen. And you might say, well, that pastor is different. I like him. And all of a sudden, the bodies split. Amen. He doesn't call us to build businesses. He doesn't call us to build schools. If we have a good Christian school, God bless you. I'd take my kids there if I could, because I know they're going to get taught a different world than they're getting taught in the world today. That's a good thing. But this church, any church, is talking about God. There's enough nonsense. Amen. Enough people trying to add God to a church. Bonnie, we were talking about that yesterday. There's these ministries. Well, we're going to combine all the ministries. I'm telling you what, as your pastor, that's blasphemy right here. That's blasphemy, right? I'm going to accept somebody else's religion in my house, in the house, in his bride, this house, his church. How can I accept somebody else's religion? Because it feels good? Or because it makes everybody get happy together? God never said to get happy together. He said to come to me, lean on me, I will lift you up. You see, it's got to be with the anointing. And there's only one thing that separates. What does it mean to be a Christian? We're going to get to that. But let me just finish this testimony. You need to lift each other up. You need to lift the elders up. I sat with my elder yesterday and I said to her, oh, you're the pastor of the church. Yes, I am, but you're my elder. I go to you because you're the one the Bible says I go to pray to pour all my sorrows out, to pour all my problems out. And you need to lift the deacons up of the church. These deacons are the foundation, putting things together, putting the flags up, worrying about electricity, worrying about the bell, doing the Bible study, the hours he spends for this church. He doesn't do it for him to have a big name and say, I'm Deacon Gary, I'm the Bible. He does it for his church, which makes it his church. Amen. You need to lift them up. God knows, let me tell you, God heals and God corrects and God forgives. Amen. Never get into confusion, distraction, never the flesh, never feelings, because feelings will fail you. But I will tell you as the testimony to God, God will never fail you. God has never failed me, ever. I have failed. His love is amazing, and he's lifted me up through my failures. And that's why this church is going to be grounded on that, amen? We're not going to accept the world's ideas. We're going to accept this idea. Simply, three words. What did I say, Bonnie, yesterday? Preach the word. Three words, amen? And the simplicity that is Christ. And that's what's going to make this church. And then as this church rises, trust me, those other things you want to do, like spreading the word, it's going to happen. Because people are going to see it, and they're going to go to Derby. They're going to go to Ansonia. Somebody's going to go to Southington. Somebody's going to go to Stratford. Spreading the word that they heard in your church, amen? And all of a sudden, the word's going to be spread. And yes, our church is going to be blessed for it, amen? But so is the city and the town and the state. That's how we change this place, amen? And Jesus' name, give him praise, church. That's a testimony. Let's pray. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this book. Thank you. But even more, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's no little thing. That is everything. Everything that separates us from the world. The indwelling of your Spirit. You say the words when I was like, oh, the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? I don't know. See, that's the world wanting you to keep, stay away from the one thing that separates you. The world won't tell you about the Holy Spirit. Some churches don't even teach about the Holy Spirit. We're going to teach it here. It's God in spirit. That's why he knows what you're saying. That's why he knows what you're doing, because his Spirit lives inside of you. Just like you carry the spirit of your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters and those that who have passed that you love, you carry that spirit. They're with you. How many people say, oh, I know my father's with me today or my mother's with me? Yeah, yeah, they are. But God is inside of you. God is inside of you. That separates you from the world. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three is one, but three individually doing that, what they do, the three of them. Become one. And with us, the Holy Spirit brings us there. That's the connection. That's the difference. That's the power. That's reading the Word in the Holy Spirit. You're not reading the Word to learn some knowledge. You're reading the Word to know about God in your life so that you can tell others about God and what this book says, knowing the indwelling, the power within, that makes you be successful, that leads you to prosperity, to success, that draws other people to you when they see the Spirit upon you. They see you smiling. They see you helping other people when it's not your job. They see you lifting people up to other people wouldn't even talk to. The cashier at the register, at the store, the waitress at the restaurant. They see you treating friends and neighbors in ways they don't understand, but then they say, I want to be with them. I want to use that person in my job. I want that person to work for me. And I want to lift them up because they're special. You betcha. You betcha we are. You betcha we are special with God's Spirit inside of us. Hallelujah. We need to see that. To know today we are not the same. When you leave here, you will not be the same. I will read from this book and you will know. You will see, you will feel, you will understand the difference of just reading this book to learn something as a scholar or reading this book simply for you to know God. His voice inside of you, leading you, the Holy Spirit. I pray that you open your hearts today and that you hunger for more of this message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give them praise, church. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, but we're not going to do anything. Amen. We're simply going to give our lives to God, and those changes will bring other people to God. Amen. We don't have to work. All we need to do is let God shine. That's the work you have to do. Trust. Going to text, that's a big step. That's a step of faith. I know the job looks good and everything, but it's still a step in faith. Amen? And you're united together to do it. That's where God's really going to lift you up and make you shine. And you know what? And I'm just saying this because I love God. I know Him. It might not be Texas at all. He might have something so great. You already have it, and you already say how great it is, the house and everything. But He might say, you are so faithful, He will say to you, the three of you, He said, okay, you took that, now take this. This is so much greater, amen? That's God. When you move with God, Kim, when you move with God too, and you and Gary starting on a new adventure, many new adventures, by the way, young man. New lives, new things to do. He's got a brand new job. He does it unto God. And other people are going to say, how did he get that listing? How did he get that sale? And he's going to say, I just doing the best I can because God is leading me. Amen. That's the difference. Amen. That's the difference. And hallelujah. You can give them praise, church. People come here and say this church is different. I say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, a Christian is anyone who has the Spirit of God living in him or her. God knows your heart. The Holy Spirit is our promise. Say that with me. The Holy Spirit is the promise. That Spirit, God's Spirit, is what changes you. Not in your mind, because your mind, forget it, it just thinks too many things. It changes you here in your heart. Where your soul, every emotion you have, that's where it changes you. And once it changes you there, you cannot be the same. Amen? You cannot say the same things to people. You cannot act the same way towards people. You want to shine in your life. Again, the promise. All right. John 14:15. Jesus. Who say Jesus? Say that with me. Jesus. Before anybody starts saying anything about the Holy Spirit, I want you to know who's saying this. The name is Jesus. Amen? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That doesn't mean you have to obey and get on you. It just means do what he's leading us to do. And I will pray the Father, and he will give. He will do what? Give you another helper. And the word helper in the Bible is a capital letter, capital H, because that is God, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Is there any time limit there? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now Jesus is saying this, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know what that simply means? They're unbelievers. They don't believe. And if they don't believe, they don't want to see. They will never see. And if they don't see, they don't want to know what they don't want to see. Amen? But Jesus said, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's the promise. Amen? Amen? Say that with me. That's the promise. Now the teaching. Hallelujah. The same guy, Jesus. What's his name? Just don't want you to be confused later. Go, if somebody tell you that that's not true, you say, well, I either got to believe you or I got to believe Jesus. Jesus says to the disciples, now I go away to him who sent me. He's going to his Father. And he said, none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. What's he going to tell them? It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He said it of sin because they do not believe in me. They do not believe in me, but he will convict them for not believing. In righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. He said that. Who's the ruler of this world? Satan rules this world. Amen. Everybody, this is his last shot at it. Amen. And he's trying to get as many people as he can to not believe in who? That's his only job. That's his only job, to get you pull away from God, but he can't do it. And Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, so many things we can't understand. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, listen to what he will guide you into all truth. Or he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, today, in your heart. If you think you had him before, if you accept him, just start to understand he's there waiting. He yearns for your company. People will see that. Listen to me. People will see that Spirit upon you. Can I get an amen? And some people will laugh. How many know that? And why will they laugh? Because they're unbelievers. So when people laugh at you, Sergio, you understand? They don't have a clue what you're talking about. They don't believe you. The Bible said it. They'll not see. They don't want to see. Not that they can't. Not that they won't. Others will be drawn to you. And this is the beautiful part. Because they need what you have. Can I get an amen? 45 minutes I spent at the motor vehicle. And I talked to a guy for 45 minutes. He said he's going to come. He lives in Southington. And I believe he's going to come. His father's at Lord Chamberlain, by the way, Bill. And we talked about God. We talked about a few other things. But we talked about God. And he was so hungry. He said, I really want to come to your church. People, everywhere you go are hungry for God's word. They need what you have. Amen? What you have. Amen? Who has it? You have it. God will send people to you. Trust me. The more you trust God, God will send people to you, Sergio. He send them to you because he knows you're going to feed them. Amen? These people, listen, these people, even if they're unbelievers, they'll see the kind of work you do. They'll see the kind of way you talk to people. They'll see the kind of way you react. They'll see your honesty, your integrity. Amen? They might not see that as God, and who cares if they don't, but they're seeing you acting like God. Amen? So guess what? These bosses are going to bless you. They're going to bless you and lift you up because, A, they know they can trust you, and there's something pretty good about you, and they want to hang on to you. Are you with me? They want to be near you. They'll come over and want to have lunch. They'll want to talk to you because there's something special about you. Absolutely. It's the Spirit of God. And they, trust me, they will want to bless you. They will want to lift you up and put you in places that they know that they can trust you. And as they do that, you're getting blessed. Amen? Is there anything wrong with getting blessed? You see what we're talking about? You want to sing the song, This Little Light of Mine. That's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit, the light shining. It's not just a song. When you act like that, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. People were going to come to this church and see everybody as a family. Yesterday was, I'm telling you what, I had more fun yesterday here than I did on the street because we had the greatest fellowship. I felt like a family growing closer together. And how many know you need new family sometimes? How many know that family lets you down sometimes? And it's not, sometimes it's just the lack of compassion. Sometimes it's just they miss it. We miss it. You know why? Because we're human beings in the flesh. And we say and do stupid things. Amen? And we say things sometimes to hurt people that we love and we don't even know it. Amen? But when you come to God, he gives you a new family where people rise up around you that lift you up. We saved a man's life in this church a year and a half ago. Saved his life when the world would have thrown him away. Amen? We do that. That's a family coming together. We come together united, lifting each other up. Amen. That's what the church is for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans. Thank you, Lord. Talking to you. Who am I talking to? Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But that just means if you don't love God, if you just don't have God in your life, that, you know, eternity, you don't look for eternity. That's what it meant. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, how come I never heard this years? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Who's the son of God? You all better stand up. I'm dead. Raise your hand. You're at our Father. You say it every Sunday. Our Father, where? So it must make you a son and a daughter. Amen? You're a son and a daughter of God. Why are you hands down? Why are you worried? Why is your back? Oh, I don't know. You're a son, a child of God. Amen. And he said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. That simply means if we are rejected because we love God, if some family members and some friends and some people reject us because we love Jesus, that means we suffer with him, amen? Because Jesus suffered when they rejected him, that we may also be glorified together. How? Together. That's how you build a church. Together. We don't build churches by building churches all over the world. We build this church. Amen? Together. Say that word with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I might be a little excited. I can't help it. All right, we're getting here. I just tell you, as heirs, as sons, as daughters, you need to claim it. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but you need to, when you go out every day, you need to claim it. When you're applying for an application, you need to claim it. When you're talking, you just need to claim it. I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. I'm a son of God. I tell you, rise above the fear, the doubts, and the worry, because that's the devil's tools. If you got a project to do, I pray you today start doing it. Let God help you. Enjoy doing it together. Do it with your wife, your husband, your friends. Start the project. Start looking at success in a way you never thought possible, and let God do his thing. If you don't take a step today, he's going to be right there loving you, but he can't do what he wants to do until you take the step. Amen? The Holy Spirit will teach you in those times. Hallelujah. He will lead you to victory and to success. And let me close with this. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible is all about. Amen. You think you might know a lot about the Bible. Amen. But in the anointing and the Spirit of God, this is what it's all about. You and the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible is all about. This is what God is all about in your life. Right here in Derby, Connecticut, we can make it shine so bright that the whole state has to say, what's going on down there? I believe it. I believe it. Amen. And it's, all it takes is faith. All it takes is for us to walk and understand who we are in that Holy Spirit. And this is what church is all about. Amen. This is what church. This is why you tell your friends, come to church, because this is where you're going to get fed things you're never going to get fed on the television in the world. Amen. This is what church is all about. This is why you come to church, to be stronger when you leave. Amen. Not to just say, well, I did my part. I went to church. Now I'm going to hell this week. That's what my friends all said when I was growing up, that we had to go to church on Sunday or else. Some of us could go to purgatory. Limbo, they called it. Kind of like Rush Limbaugh. Limbo. Thinking, where is that in here? Because some scholar told me that in there. Can I take 5 more minutes? Is that okay? Because I want you to understand the simplicity. When simplicity is used, how powerful it is. Amen? I mean, powerful. Hallelujah. This church was 1845, I believe. So what I'm going to talk about happened actually about 12 years after this church was built. Amen? And each and every week, and I love God more than I love them, I do. And if they ask me to do something against God, I would never do it. If the people in this church asked me to do something I know wasn't right, I wouldn't do it. But I love them with all I have because they led me. They put the path. They took me and led me through it all. And even though I might disagree with something they say or do, I don't disagree with one thing they talk about when they talk about God. Amen? I just wanted to say that. There's a scholar fella. And he was asked to speak at this very important, he had an important message. It was a commission that he was proposed to speak, and they got this fella, Edward Everett. Edward Everett was a former president of Harvard. Ooh. I know that's, I mean, that's really great, isn't it? I mean, that sounds silly. I'm not trying to, I mean, he was the president of Harvard. And that's pretty great. He was the former senator from Massachusetts and a former Secretary of State. And he was to be the principal orator. Orator? Orator? Okay. Wanting, and now they asked him to do this speech on October 23rd, 1863. And then he said to them, yes, but wanting more time, Wanting more time to prepare his speech, he suggested November 19th instead, and the commission accepted the change. So he wanted another month. Okay? Formal invitations were sent out to all the nation's dignitaries, asking them to attend. One of the invitations, of course, went to the president. To the surprise and perhaps even shock of the commission, the president agreed to be present. Since protocol demanded that he was asked to say something, he was sent a curious invitation which rather simply hinted, A, speak briefly, and B, he keep his talk serious. Praise the Lord. Opening the ceremony, Everett spoke, I love this, for 2 hours. Using not a single note. I can understand that, right, Greg? You see me talk for 2 hours on anything, right? So I can understand this man, this brilliant scholar. He was brilliant. He was the president of Harvard. This man is smarter than anything. I mean, he's brilliant. And he didn't use a note, and he spoke for 2 hours. 2 hours using that. And when he was through, the president was announced in a very few minutes, and he came up to give his speech. Evidently, the president had sort of a high-pitched, sharp, unpleasant voice characterized by strong traces of Southern accent. Everybody present seemed unaware of, anyway, I mean, I don't want to give this away. After the speech, I'm going to go across a minute. After the speech, this president was totally dissatisfied with what he wrote and what he said, they calling it a flat failure. Everett told Secretary of State Steward that he had made a failure and I'm sorry for it. He was embarrassed for the president. Amen. This man who spoke for 2 hours, after listening to the president, was embarrassed. He said he was embarrassed, made a failure, and I'm sorry for it. Although the next day he wrote a very complimentary letter to the president. It's politics. The newspapers more or less followed political lines in their comments. Some referred to it as the silly remarks of a president and the silly, flat, and dishwatery utterance, while others called the speech a perfect gem, a perfect thing in every respect. Well, it was 170 years ago. The verdict of time, it goes without saying, and I will read the rest of it here, but I just want to read the speech. I want you to understand simplicity. Simplicity. When we talk about God's simplicity, how it affects your life. Amen. The first man, Mr. Everett, spoke for 2 hours. And I will tell you that you will not find what he said anywhere written. You will not find it in books. Whatever he said, how grandeur it was, how wonderful it was, you will not find it. Maybe you can look it up. I couldn't find it. Anything that he has spoken for 2 hours, and then he looked at, listened to the president, and he just was embarrassed for what the president had to say in that speech. I'm going to read you the entire speech. Amen. The entire speech from the president of the United States. That some people called, what'd they call it? Silly remarks of the president, silly, flat, and dishwatery utterances. I'm going to read you this speech. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long last endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live, that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or to detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation, two words right here, this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And it just simply goes on to say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to find that one. The one part was kind of it comes before that they had said that the speech. Oh yes, he spoke in a high pitched, sharp, unpleasant voice, characterized by strong traces of Southern accent. Everybody present seemed unaware that Lincoln had finished so brief with his speech. Here's my little book. This three quarters of a page is the Gettysburg Address. Probably the greatest speech ever written, ever recorded, and ever talked about in the history of this country. The greatest speech that he gave, amen, that long in my book. Took me how long to read it? It probably took him 2 minutes to read it. Everybody remembers every word of that speech, understands what under God meant to him, what this country meant to him, for the people, by the people, amen? That man spoke for 2 hours, a scholar. 2 hours, and nobody remembers one word, amen? But Abraham Lincoln spoke the Gettysburg Address, and the world was moved. We can move the world with God, amen? Give him praise, church. Simply preach the word, the simplicity of Christ, amen? You can start today by just taking another step, doing something other than what you've been doing. If you're feeling down, help somebody. If you're feeling down and worried, do something for somebody else. Start a different activity where you're actually helping somebody. And all of a sudden, all these things will come over you, things in different ways that God can move and move in your life, amen? In your life today, amen? Give him praise, church. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about the ministry of helps one of these Sundays, I promise. But if things in your life don't seem to be moving right, reach out to somebody else. Do something for somebody. Help somebody. Change something in your life and let God do so many miracles. Look what Jesus did for us. Look what he did on that cross for us. Shed his blood for us. Took our sins upon him for us. And he simply says, do this in remembrance of him. The beauty and the simplicity of what he asked for is everything. In Jesus' name. Ask God to clear the iniquities of your heart. Anything you might have said or done, ask him to help you. And he will. You are sons and daughters of God in heaven. The Holy Spirit is indwelling in each and every one of you. You are worthy. Just ask him to remove the iniquities of the day. Anything that's not from him, ask him to remove it. Ask him to make you stronger. We're all in this together. And then take that sacrament with him in remembrance of what he did. It doesn't matter if the wine is white, red, blue, green, or yellow. It's got nothing to do. You base all that on what color the wine is, you've already missed it. You missed it. You look up and just say, thank you. Thank you. We remember in this house. We remember in this house. You get caught up in pageantry and tradition, you're already starting to fall back. It's about God and you. Thank you, Lord. Our Father who art in heaven is not going to get mad at us today if the wine's not red. Trust me. In fact, I never read in any Bible that the wine was actually red to begin with. God is so beautiful. We put so many problems in front of him. Thank you, Lord. We added two new flags to the front of the church yesterday. Everybody worked hard to put them up, and people noticed two flags in front of the church. They noticed them. They saw them waving from the street, and it just gave the church another bright light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Elaine brought her little puppy here today because they have to leave here and go to the other end of the state, and they didn't want to leave her alone. And she brought a little puppy here to God's house today. You know, God loves puppies, you know. He loves dogs and cats, alligators. Thank you, Lord. Long neckies. Thank you, Jesus. He created all them for us to enjoy. Hallelujah. Oh, I just pray that you leave here and just search for something even in your home, something you haven't started that you start today, or something you wanted to quit that you quit today, that you give it to God today. Today. Should have done it yesterday, but you didn't today. Don't wait any longer. God will help you. He will lift you, and you'll come here and you'll say, Pastor, I need to tell everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that good? Felt good. I was a little surprised. Wasn't that good? Somebody's going to think that we did something wrong. I said, really? Somebody once said, how can you do the sacrifice? What do you mean, how can I? I'm a son of God. Well, everybody falls short. If somebody had to be perfect to stand here to do this, nobody would be able to do it. We do this because we're part of the family of God. Amen? Like Gene said, what a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our God. Give him praise. That's it. God does give you a new family, but we pray that each day, even those that we love and our family, our children, and our, all these things just come together and see if you would just give to God how different everything could be. Amen. Hallelujah.